Dark woods, deep and encroaching around you. Close, heavy, pregnant silences. Distant breathing fills your mind. As you're walking, treading the path, finding your way one step and another and a third, down little hills and then up the other side, rambling your way through and exploring. You hear something in the distance. There are no moon, no stars, nothing overhead to provide light, but there are sounds, and there are trails, and there is the tap-tap of your own feet along the packed earth exploring. Paths to tread deeper and more insidiously, paths to tread a little further along the way. And those paths give way to the eaves overhead, obscuring everything ahead of you, and you hear a low, soft howl. Something melodic, a song. You must follow it. That's the sound you heard, which was a little out of place, a little calculated to draw you in. You turn toward it on the packed earth trail. You begin walking, treading. You experiment with making your legs turn around, making your body turn you around, but still you are walking backward toward it as though tethered, something deep inside your body, deep inside your mind, drawing you, bringing you closer. And there is a hunger, a yearning, an awareness at the core of you. You are connected to what you are being tugged toward by that song. Eventually, your face goes slack and your arms fall limply down, drooping. But still, you tread slouching forward. You walk, finding yourself following instinctively the turning, first to the right, treading several steps along. The song is ahead, but it's a little second to your left. Turning under eaves, there was darkness already, but here, though it is dark, you imagine some trail laid out in sound and closeness, and a bond you find difficult to place, but easy to follow and trust, and third, a right hand turning under the eaves, whistling and whispering, drawing and drinking, you in and under and toward what is possible, what is needed, what is necessary, what is informative for your soul. You turn again right and four. Walking in this manner becomes repetitive, hypnotic, a lesson in the way that swaying five left. And right, left and right, following the switchbacks of a certain path that goes down this side of a forested hill, can carry you eventually to the water, eventually to a point where you'll be able to see six and right in the distance, a lake, large, but it's hard to see just where the song is coming from, for it echoes all around the banks, off every stone and every leaf, and your own mind in the process, seven and left, shifting back and forth, following the curve of the trail and following in this time brings you a sense of serenity, peace, and improvement. You walk right, eight. This is a simple place to be, and it really reminds you of every little walk away from the world, every time you could step away from the bullshit and be immersed in some other place. And seven, eight, nine, and left. Ten and right, yes, right. There, the lake out before you, spreading, the waters rippling, and in the center, you see a head emerging above the water, a woman, pointed ears, wolf muzzle. The lake is not huge, and clearly she is able to stand on the bottom, on her tiptoes, because she's simply standing there, periodically raising her long, furred arms out of the water, shaking it off. It is fed by some clear stream coming from the mountains nearby, and this rolls off of the lake at the other side, rolling down to give life to the whole forest. This is some stream head she is bathing at, and that woman's head raised, her muzzle pointed skyward. The wolf woman howls and sings, and the melody draws you. You stand there, slumped forward, staring, watching the woman. And after a moment of your breathing growing more peacefully complete, more immersed in the moment, she turns her eyes on you and smiles a fanged smile. She begins to approach the shore, no longer scrubbing and bathing her beautiful fur. She walks to the shore and begins to walk out of the lake, step after step, bringing now her shoulders, powerful and broad, her breasts massive and heavy, larger than her head, larger than your torso, huge, swollen nipples, heavy breasts, a taut-muscled stomach. Her arms are long, and though she has claws, you see they're clearly retractile to allow her the dexterity needed to scrub such a beautiful form, clean and glistening as she is. When she steps out in her legs, her digitigrade feet, her hind paws, her forepaws extending, reaching out to embrace or hold you, her voice, though, ceases the singing when she touches land, when she touches shore and begins to walk toward you. Your eyes flutter. You stand up to your full height. Some instinct says you should get out of there, you should go, you should escape. After all, she's huge, 7 feet, muscular, the water simply beating off, beautiful fur and strong arms. She's still smiling. She stands a few feet on shore, but doesn't come any closer to you. Some part of your brain says, you have to stay. There's something you still need. Her fur is speckled, varying shades of gray, dots here and there. She doesn't come any nearer, but stares at you. You stare right back, inspecting her. From her nipples, as pointed as they are, and the water dripping off their tips, down across her taut belly, down between her legs, but always your gaze is drawn back up to her muzzle, to her throat, to the place that sound, that music was coming from that lured you in. And it really did lure and draw and bring you to her. It really did make something in you, something younger, young as when the world was new, something primal and deep and a little bit more intense than the dulled sensations of your everyday life. It drew you to her, and now you are here in her presence, connected to her, available to her for her to reach out and touch, although you're just outside of her grasp, just outside of her grip. You do take one step closer and then pause. There's something you want to ask her, something you want to ask before you come closer, something to override your nerves, something to make everything all right again. But your mouth, your lips are heavy, your cheeks are slumped, your entire face is slack, and your mind follows suit. It's difficult to get words out when you feel like this, when you feel like you just want someone else to do the thinking and tell you what to feel. A feeling of abdication and submission overriding. Remembering the forest behind you, wondering if you could even retrace the path back out of here. Remembering the rights and lefts, lessons and instructions, the teaching and the training. You remember all that. But the path itself might be lost, just as so much of what was before is lost. You stare at her, her beautiful fur. Her face, gentle expression, the smile, is definitely warm and inviting and joyful. She doesn't say anything yet, but her stare pins you right where you are. You experiment with moving your arms, but you realize that if you're being good, they should just stay where they are. You try shifting your feet, your legs, but if you're being good, they should stay stilled, stay possessed, stay controlled, stay right where they are. The song has ceased externally, but inside, it plays on. It plays with you. She plays with you, your consciousness and awareness, your ability and restraint. You stand still, rooted to one spot, near this serene, idyllic lake, near her calm, joyful regard. You stare right at her, growing lost in her eyes. And then, with trepidation, with restraint, but inevitability, you ask her to sing once more. It does tend to lure people in, she says. People who want to give up responsibility for a little while, who need a place to relax. This way you can let someone take care of you. Is that what you want? Your head's already nodding, agreeing. That does sound like a pleasant escape, and you're not entirely in possession of your full resistance faculties. You nod and nod. She reaches out for you. She pulls you to her until you're standing just a foot away. Her arms are long, and she's able to wrap them around you tight, then let you go and lower her muzzle near your ear, where she can whisper. You came to me so quickly. That means you wanted it, wanted this escape, wanted this guidance. Give up responsibility. Be mine here, in this place away from everything. She leans forward, grabbing the back of your head in one of her hands, pressing your face to one of her massive nipples. You open your mouth. Suddenly a flow of warm milk into your mouth, down your throat. You drink deep, slide deep. Your eyes roll back and your breathing gets heavier. She keeps you there, scooping the other arm under your body and lifting you up, cradling you against her 7-foot-tall form. Her body is so broad and accommodating as you're resting there, your face against her pliable breast, your eyes already closing. A strange mix of comfort and arousal overtakes you as she whispers those same reassuring things into your brain. You lay there, your mouth wrapped around her nipple, sucking, sucking, giving up responsibility, becoming hers, being encapsulated. But even though you try to suck that nipple harder, she pulls it away. You feel your belly warm and filled with her, her control. She begins to sing softly rather than just murmur, singing a song that slides through your head, carrying away all vestiges of the old world and leaving just you and her there. Your mouth moves to her other breast as she shifts how she's holding you. You feel yourself getting hornier, hotter, tighter inside your head, getting more turned on by the second. Her body against you, the more constant the ache, the more complete the control. She holds you against her breast and you drink and drink. You feel it go from monstrously swollen to merely a bit big as you suck down her milk, drinking deep, mind flowing away, brain sleeping as this massive wolf woman holds you to her form and allows you to just vent all responsibility, to be within her grasp and in her grip and in her guidance. She moves you against that breast, encouraging you to press your face in and out, sucking on her nipple, fellating it with your lips, moving on that massive nip and letting your mind be a secondary concern. You push your body against hers, rubbing with friction, pushing one of her arms in between your legs so you can rub against it, constantly increasing your level of arousal the more of her you drink in, the more you swallow and slide and slip and are guided in her control. You are brought there, laying there, drinking in her milk, drinking in the atmosphere, the awareness, the level of control that she has over you is unstoppable, complete, absolute. You gain an appreciation even for her wet fur against yours, cooling you under the warm air of the forest eaves. And she takes a step or two back into the lake, keeping her upper body above its surface, holding you there so you're safe above the water, drinking from her nipples, drinking from her breasts. Your mind and body are connected to hers. Your mind and body are guided into hers as she gives of her her energy, her essence, gives to you and lets you drink deep and sleep in her arms, mind sleeping but body there. You try to fitfully stir away from her, but the strength of her arms holds you against her, and your lips seem bound tightly against her nipple, as if her breast were a gag pushed in your mouth. Nothing is going to slide out of you except the obscene sound, the pleasured sound, the innocent sound of you sucking her milk deep inside, drinking deep and losing yourself in smacking, constant sucking guidance in the lessons that she teaches you just by holding you there, by pressing your face powerfully against her breast, that singing howl still in the back of your mind, your skin tingling, arousal turned on, fantasies about her, about what she could do with you, about her strength, about her guidance, about how good it would be if she were just in charge of everything and you were simply following, you were simply being guided, given guidance, given instruction and information, lessons in the deeper recesses and refuges of connection to her. She nods along, and you nod too, mirroring her movements as she sways you to and fro, rocking you in her arms, holding you against her breast, letting you suck your own mind away on her nipple. She switches you back to the first one, because you've been sucking at the second for a long time, and once more the warm flow of her milk fills your belly, fills your mind, flows down your throat and leaves you ready and receptive for whatsoever she might want to whisper or sing into your mind. You feel her body and how muscular and taut, how powerful and dominating she is, above you, holding you in her arms as you suck at her nipple. She keeps swaying you, rocking you in her arms back and forth, back and forth, and with her nipple in your mouth, you're more able than ever before to feel her, to see her, to know what she can do to you. You were lured here, but now that you are here, escape is an impossibility. You are in her strong arms, and she could hold you right against her body, confine you right against her body, if she really wanted to. She does really seem to want you, but the joy on her face, the evident arousal and enjoyment she is drawing from you being lost in her nipples, her breasts, their warmth, their pliability, and that soft, sweet milk flowing down your throat and robbing your consciousness of rationality or escape, filling it only with something deep inside that knows you should stay and stay hers. Well, in that state, you are more aware than before that this is the right place and the right choice and the right bond to explore. Yes, your bond to her, your connection to her, no way to know what it is, but you know it is right and comforting, good and enlightening, fulfilling, absolute and stupendous. In this moment, you are to her the focus of her world. She is to you the focus of your mind, your body, your word, your world. You suck at her nipple, and the smacking seems to please her as the last of the milk that's currently flowing flows down your throat, and she pulls her breast away with some difficulty, for you're still trying to capture it with your lips, trying to suck her closer, deeper. You get pulled away and stare at her, a blank, vacant, somewhat drugged expression on your face, and you know it as you see her pull you back into her arms, making sure that you can arc your head to look down her form and see that she's stepping out of the water once again, revealing the parted and gorged lips of her pussy. Impossible to tell if it's wet, but you can see between her legs that it is parted, spread, tight, perfect pink folds under her fur. The wolf woman holds you in her arms and then places your legs slowly on the ground, but she's holding you by your shoulders, making sure you can stand up and also instructing you to stand. And because her instructions are all you're thinking about right now, you do stay standing. You do stay right there, under her influence, under her sway, under her gaze, the darkness of the starless, moonless sky overhead, reaffirming that you're in the right place, that you can stand there and listen to her, follow her guidance, do as she says. The arousal, the hot need inside of your body as everything is flicked on. Her milk must have been an aphrodisiac. There's a positively chemical, forced, constant sensation to the way that you are thrilling, that you are drooling, that your body is panting, heart is beating, your arousal is growing, you're turned on, hot and horny, fantasizing about her controlling you, her pinning you, her giving you instructions and giving you pleasure as you give pleasure to her, as you made her feel pleasure when you sucked her nipples, when you found her, when you served, when you let go of everything else. Yes, she derives pleasure from your letting go. Your letting go of the outside world and surrendering to her control and guidance, to her body and will, her milk and song. These things are enough to make you aware of her. These things are enough to make you hers, and to turn her on and bring her pleasure. And bringing her pleasure is your fondest wish, your most absolute ideal. It is all you think about and care about in that moment, standing there under starless sky on the dark shores of a lake, with her furred form before you, taller than you, looming over you, reaching down for you, reaching out to you, welcoming you back. You see the parting between her legs, you see her wet slit, and she does indeed reach down and part the lips, showing you her engorged clit in need of stimulation. There are some things you can do for her better than before, some more things you can do for her while her nipples are momentarily dry and her song is momentarily ceased, your urge to please is still there. Holding you as she is, her wet pussy glistening in the light, painting against your body with her juices as she holds you captive within her and in her grasp as well. She brings her thighs hard against your inner thighs again and again. The friction alone is enough to work you up, work you off, and push deeper parts of you. Her hands are grabbing your ass, pulling you against her. You just feel an abdication of responsibility, a freedom from everything that came before. You are in her grip, and that is all right. You are in her grasp, and that is what is supposed to happen tonight. She pushes pleasure. She keeps the pleasure coming just by rubbing and rubbing. She has one of her legs under you to scoop you against her, and the other laid over you as she pushes her pussy against you again and again, rubbing and throbbing, aching wet and hot, the smacking of her juices being painted onto your body just because of how obscenely hot she is, how horny she is, at you giving up all responsibility and coming under her grip, under her grasp. She starts to push the orgasmic feeling. It feels like you're too sensitive already, especially when you began to drop deep before, when you began to sleep before, you got more sensitive, and her milk in your belly's only making it worse. She's just gonna keep pushing for that climax, pushing for her own satisfaction since she isn't satisfied yet. Well, she isn't satisfied yet, but you know she'll get there. You can trust her to get there, using your body and brain to do it. She is here, under the moon, seeing you as another child of the moon out under it. Although it is new this night, starless and dark above, there's always a bond and a pull between the moon and her and you. And this information finds its way into your system, finds its way down into the core of you. Your entire operating system is aware of the milk that you've drank in, is aware of the control that you've absorbed, is aware of the mind that is already leaking out of the way and leaving you there, gripped by her, rubbing and rutting against her body, bringing pleasure when her clit bangs against you, from her inner thighs just slamming so hard against your body, riding and writhing, using you for pleasure, frictionally rutting against you to bring the two of you off, bring pleasure to you both, the heat inside your mind, the dripping aphrodisiac of her milk in your belly. It all works together and cooperates to render you the resonant manifestation of her desire for control, her desire for constant, mindless service here from you, abdicating responsibility to become hers. Abdicating your responsibility so you can become connected to her, guided by her, drinking her in, giving her pleasure. That's what you want. That's where you are. You feel her against you. You feel your intimate connection to her form and her mind and her milk inside of you, her juices painting your body, her song inside your head. You in that moment are there, bound and gripped, grasped, given instructions, commands, guidance by her. And you just sigh and pant your way along through it. You just fall under her, feeling yourself drawn into it all. She begins to howl a little now as the pleasure grows in her. She begins to let out little moaning, gasping, whimpering responses, moving her body against you. The pleasure is rising inside of her and she keeps you gripped there, telling you that this is right and good. This is everything you both need. You're doing so well. You feel your body racked and shivering. You feel your brain leaking and dripping, and that is okay, because the more you're connected to her, the more you can trust her to handle the situation, to handle your guidance into position under her, controlled by her, taut and drinking deep and rubbing your body against hers, bringing pleasure to her. Her clit is so rigid, her howls and shivers, the mind-controlling feeling. You give up to her and it feels wonderful. You know that that little lullaby from before keeps lulling your thoughts down, but you don't need your thoughts right now. You only need her. Even though she's making you feel a little sore between your legs with the power she uses to thrust her body against you, you still howl in mimicry and unison with her, letting your eyes roll, seeing the silver of the moon inside your head even though the sky is dark above. She's rubbed herself off, and the climax is rampaging through her body. It's inescapable now. You've pushed against her and felt her drawing everything out of you and making you weak and blank, and your eyes are heavy and closed. But above you, she's still howling and twitching, and aftershocks are rolling through her. Her tail is up, but now and then it drops and brushes across your knees. Good, good, you've done so well. She congratulates you and reassures you, even as her pussy wetly rubs over your body. You feel the slickness as it slides away from between your legs, letting her juices drip out, letting a pool of your mingled fluids fill the ground, and then she rubs her pussy over your leg, reinforcing, marking for a moment her wet juice, pouring her big, rigid clit at that moment. Is so aroused and so sensitive, but she rubs her oversensitized self on you. You feel bruised and ridden, controlled and pinned. You feel how she's proud of you, reassuring you from above. Her howls and groaning, her unearthly wails of pleasure have faded to a dull roar, but every now and then she can't hold one back. She reaches down and runs her hand through your hair again and again, runs her hand over your head, making you relax into her. You're drifting as your eyelids get heavy, so drained. But then the pleasure, the aftershocks, shockingly warm, dripping your consciousness. You feel it between your legs, then you feel it in your belly where the milk is. A hot, tight orgasm. No, a feeling of pleasure, a relaxation-gasm. Your whole body getting that afterglow feeling without necessarily going through the stark, sharp feelings of orgasm. This is just the relaxy bits. The more she strokes her hand across your head, the more of that buzzing, relaxing orgasm you get. Climactic release and relief of a different sort than the merely sexual. You feel how bruised and ridden you are, but you also feel how very worth it it was. You surrender to her touch, leaning into her hand with the last of your remaining strength. She runs her hands over you. You did so good. And we can do this again whenever you need to let go of your responsibilities, whenever you need an escape from it all. Come here under the moon. Come here and find me, and I will sing for you, and we will seek pleasure. I'll know just what to do. You'll know just how to do it when you drink. She runs her hand over your belly full of her warm milk. When you sink. She runs her hand over your head, running it over your scalp, massaging, teaching, teasing and training. And as she mentions hearing her song again, you already have the urge to hear it. But you can, on the edge of consciousness, in the back of your mind, your body post-climactic, laying there with the occasional aftershock making you tense up, clench up, think of her and her hot body, her huge breasts, her wet pussy, her mind and her muzzle and her eyes and her connection and bond to you. You feel how deep inside you were pent up, held up, restrained by her. How this was inescapable from the very first moment that she snared her song around you. And now the song is inside you, and the snare is set ever more deeply. You feel a tug as she walks into the lake to finish her bathing. You feel a tug bringing you, calling you to join her, crawling to the edge of the lake, looking out at her. She beckons with one hand and invites you in. And so you do, and the waters are warm and cleansing. The waters are restorative and informative. And inside of them you fancy you feel a vibration. But after a moment you realize it's just the ripples and resonations caused by her voice echoing out through the water, caused by her beginning to sing again. And your mind, ensnared as it is, makes you sway, right and 10, left and 9, right and 8 for her, closer and closer in the water, 7 and left, 6 and right, 5 and left, nearer to her, 4 and right, closer to where she's washing and where you might learn the secrets of surrendering responsibility, 3 and left, 2 and right. And you wonder how many lessons there are, 1 and left.